Josh Hoppett's story is one of humor, hard work, and humility. When he was 22, he had an epileptic seizure in his home, and his 6 medically licensed marijuana plants were confiscated by the police. After this incredible ordeal, being taken to the hospital, almost arrested, the following morning, he received the dreaded phone call from the DA. She left a voicemail saying that he could come pick up his plants and please do it quickly because they didn't want to be responsible for them dying. When he went to the station, he watched as a trail of cops helped him carry his cannabis plants back to his truck. Today, 10 years later, Josh is growing 6,000 plants. All right, here we are once again with The Real Dirt. Today I have Josh from The Real Light. Say hey, Josh.
Hey, everybody. How's everyone doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for making some time to come over on this beautiful, sunny February day.
And it's beautiful out, and this is absolutely my pleasure. Thank you for your time, Chip.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's great. Yeah, we met several months ago. I came and toured your facility, and I was just putting my first Real Dirt-like podcast together, and immediately said to myself, oh, I got to get this guy on the show.
Right. I appreciate that. Yeah.
First season, if you're not familiar with it or the listeners out there aren't familiar with it, we recorded 15 episodes from industry experts and had great open conversations about the future of cannabis and what was actually happening.
Yep.
And had tons of responses, thousands and thousands of downloads of this stuff. And the thing people asked me about the most was more growers. We want more weed.
Of course.
Right.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, man, tell me who you are. You're Josh with 3 Alight. Who are you? Who is Josh?
Josh with 3 Alight is first and foremost a family man. I love my daughter with all my heart. She's my everything. And I grew up with my grandparents kind of living either with us or very close to us. And so I like having my parents close as well. It's very normal to me. I live on the 12th floor. They live on the 5th floor. We're all very close to one another.
That's great, man.
Secondly, I've been accused of being an entrepreneur as well. I have my hands in about 6 different businesses. Like we spoke about before, you know, I don't need a vacation for my life. I really appreciate and enjoy what I do. A lot of the businesses I do have my hands in are around the cannabis industry, being one of the largest, of course, with all the excitement that it's getting. A lot of people are looking for people in the industry that have had experience when it comes to large scale investments and where to put them. And we can really help out with things like that, whether you're trying to, you need consulting help for your grow. Another big part of who I am, I authored the book called 3 Alight. It's about a 2.5-year project for us. We built it based off a simple methodology to achieve 3 pounds per light in your grow. Industry averages around that, like we'd mentioned before, 28 grams a square foot. You're going to be right around 1 pound of light. And we want to help you get closer to 3, if not 4 pounds per light. And that's what the book does.
Yeah, and no bullshit. This actually happens. The listeners out there are saying, you can't get 4 pounds of light. Well, Josh has done it, and yeah. I've seen it. And Josh isn't the only one doing it.
Correct.
And he sold over 1,000 copies of his book currently.
Yep.
And yep. He has many other people that can testify that, yes, you can get 3+ pounds of light.
Absolutely. Right. And do it in a way that is... removes the guesswork for you. I feel like before, if you were trying to teach yourself how to grow, you had to part a couple pieces of this High Times article together, and then you'd steal a couple chapters of you know, Jorge's book or Ed's book and try to not get too confused by it and give it a good shot. And now there's kind of A to Z. This is how we do it from start to finish.
You guys are a wholesale grow in Denver. Let's kind of start there, because you're not just an entrepreneur. You're not just a financier. You're not just an author. You're not just a marketer, but you're a grower.
Absolutely. That's definitely where it stems. I've had epilepsy since I was the age of 14. And they put me on a whole slew of medication. And this is something that really encouraged me to want to kind of convert from, because some of the larger things with the medication they put me on was, you know, weight gain, liver failure, hair loss. I got a nice cue ball look going. I lost my hair at about 19 from all the medication. But long story short.
That's hard, man. You look hard.
Thanks. but no, absolutely a grower. We have Super Farm is our facility in Denver. And then we have Treehouse is our facility in Aurora. And together we produce about 0.5 metric ton a month between both facilities.
That's 1,100 pounds.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. Yeah. Right. Uncle Sam's happy about that. He gets a pretty good share of everything that that comes out of there. So, you know, we'll mix anywhere from, you know, from 4,000 to 5,000 gallons of water daily feeding our plants. So we encourage people that, you know, if you do purchase the book or you need some advice, we have actually a team of expert growers, master cultivators, whatever you want to label it, on staff that we've ran into a lot of issues that might be very helpful to. If you run into some issues, whether it be like I'd mentioned before, you know, you get some thrips, give us a call. You get some mites, give us a call. Your plants are burning, give us a call. We want to help. We're here to make the cannabis industry better.
When did you start the grow facility in Denver?
Grow facility in Denver kicked off in 2015, which is when we kind of received our CO and certificate of occupancy and were able to populate the facility with plants.
Had you worked directly as a badged or a licensed grower previous to that, or this was your first legal, regulated cannabis facility?
Yeah, I've always had my medical card due to my epilepsy. I'm able to grow personally for myself, and then I would try and help other people out that maybe had ailments that marijuana could help them as well. So I've been growing for a very long time, about 15 years. But as far as this being the every plant has metric tags on it, this is all state compatible. Yes, this is our first grow. Absolutely.
Right. So let me get this straight. You are currently producing 1,100 pounds a month on average.
Yes, sir.
That comes out to 150 pounds every 2.5 days or something like that?
Yeah, that's pretty much our cycle. We have 24 flower rooms. So if you take 24 and you divide it by our 70-day flowering cycle, anywhere from 63 to 70 days per room. Mm-hmm. And so that shakes out to about a harvest every 2.5 days.
Wow, harvest every 2.5 days. I know some people that would scream at that type of thing. But
I love touring those people through my facility. They call it the Wonka tour.
The Wonka tour.
It's great. Yeah, right. Yeah. Hey, let me show you what's going on. Here's your golden ticket.
Yeah, absolutely. So you started in 2015. You're young to this. It's just started for you. 18 months in.
Yes, sir.
And you immediately hit it running.
Yeah, we hit it hard. We definitely did not test the depth of the river with 1 foot, as Warren Buffett would say. Mm-hmm. We tested it with both feet.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, we jumped in, that's for sure.
Yeah, you jumped in, and you jumped in a different way that most people do. So you came in right when wholesale started to become legal. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, right. And so you came in and you immediately had a plan, though.
Absolutely.
Right. And it was to develop a nutrient program built on your growing techniques.
Yep.
To educate people with a book, an instruction manual, so to speak.
Yep.
How right? to. Step by step, how to.
Yep.
And to grow shit tons of weed.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's one thing this world could always use more of.
And is
that,
more weed.
Yeah, well, more weed for sure. But most importantly, what does weed insinuate? People can put a negative connotation around it. I think what weed can really do for people is, you know, give you a more laid back atmosphere. I know that when I'm having a really stressful day, if I can smoke a little cannabis, it definitely puts some fuck it in my system. Excuse my language. I don't get as wound up about something, and I might remind myself that, hey, let's focus on the bigger picture here, and let's, you know, focus on being happy. And I think that more people could have some things that encourage them to take life less serious.
Yeah,
I feel people can get wound up in things, especially, you know.
Oh yeah.
I don't want to dive into the political pool, but if you talk anything politics, people get wound up quick.
Right. These days, for sure.
You know, and so that's where I encourage there to be more of a laid back atmosphere. And I think if we could produce more cannabis, and most importantly, we always focus on quality before quantity. We want to have top shelf product. Mm-hmm. We want to be the Grey Goose. I feel as though there's a lot of people out there that want to focus on being Skoll. That's fine. Go ahead and be the Skoll Vodka.
Yeah.
We want to be the Belvedere, the Grey Goose that. You know, if I don't want to smoke my cannabis, there's a real problem. And we steer away from that.
Yeah. So many people in this industry, it's just a widget to them.
Yep.
Right. And some of those people are doing incredible.
Absolutely.
Right. And I could name names, but I guess I'm not going to. But you know who they are.
Absolutely.
You see them in our community. They're some of the largest dispensaries and grows, and the people involved with it. They don't have a cannabis culture other than like we're making this widget and selling it.
Yes, that is correct. And those are the, typically I kind of call them the white collared guys. And I don't mean that in any way whatsoever. If you're white collar, I got a lot of love for you. People that aren't,
they're pink shirts now. By the way. It's a pink shirt.
Okay. All right. So if those guys, you know, typically people that actually don't participate in, cannabis and it doesn't benefit their life other than a financial figure, those are the people that I feel like can kind of lose sight of the vision towards a positive area and really want to just kind of make it a corporation where it's a return of investment.
Right.
And if I believe those people don't get into it for the right reasons. So they're typically some of the people that have the hardest time succeeding.
Me and Josh both love the white collar, the pink shirt people.
Oh, absolutely.
Many of our customers.
Family members, you name it. That's my brother.
Absolutely. So please do not get insulted or offended if you're wearing a pink shirt listening to our podcast right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've got a few pink shirts in my closet, so we're good.
Right. Because you know what the pink shirt really means is like professional financing, professional business.
Absolutely.
You know, professional interaction on a much larger scale than the cannabis industry has been able to achieve because it's been a private industry for such a long time.
It has. And I think a lot of those people are really taking interest to what we're doing. And it's been wonderful because I've loved to kind of act as a tour guide for them to make sure that they are putting their financial contributions in the right direction or any capital investment mm-hmm. is going towards the right area. We love to help with that. And yeah, it's definitely legitimizing the industry. So the more of you gentlemen that, you know, just took a small shot at, the more of you guys that can get in the industry, the more it legitimizes everything for pretty much everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the biggest problem in the private cannabis industry in the past is that it was private. And if you wanted to build something or borrow some money, you had to borrow it from your brother-in-law or build it with your cousin or, you know, you know, your best friend. And it was all had to be like, well, I think let's try it this way. Well, that way didn't work. Let's try it this way. Well, that didn't work.
There's a hell of a learning curve.
Right. Hell of a learning curve.
Yes.
And I mean, I've been to your facility. I'm not sure how you guys finance the operation, but you probably got some financing. That was new for you.
Of course.
When you did that, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Because the cannabis industry people have never had that opportunity.
Correct. Yeah. We were able to a large amount of capital for our investments from the exact crowd that we were just discussing. You know, these guys wanted to know my story, wanted to know how I was going to ensure their investment and really much, you know, protect their ROI, which is your return of investment. We were able to, you know, kind of give them a story that they were sold on and off they went. And I think anybody who's invested in our operation or is a part of what we're doing has done very well for themselves.
Yeah, man, you guys are growing tons of weed. Love your Instagram account. That's
thank you.
That's Three Alight, spelled T-H-R-E-E-A-L-I-G-H-T.
Correct, except for it's Three Alight,
T-H-R-3-3-A-L-I-G-H-T. There we go.
Yes, sir, yep.
And you are threealight.com.
Yeah, and that's just T-H-R-E-E-A-L-I-G-H-T.com.
So anybody that wants to look you up can look you up, see the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's kind of hard to start if we want to start talking about your grow. We'll just briefly get into it this way is when you look on your Instagram account, listeners out there, when you look on the Three Alight Instagram account, notice the consistency of the canopy size over the past 5 months. Right. And that is the proof in the pudding, right?
Absolutely. Please do your homework. We encourage you guys.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Look it up, man.
Yep.
The number one way people lose their potential yield is by canopy development.
Of course.
They cannot get their canopy tight enough. Like that one garden we viewed earlier.
Yep.
Right. How it doesn't have the same clone in it over and over again. So there's, I call them whoop-de-doos in the canopy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
But your canopy is tight. Almost all the plants are within 6 inches of each other. There's nugget every 4 inches from the top of the plant down to the bottom of the plant. And it really does look incredible. Please, if you're interested in this, look it up and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Yeah. All the people who are like, bullshit, he's not growing 3 pounds of light.
Oh, I love those people. They're the best people to tour.
Yeah,
I love them because they you know, they can kind of, you know, naysay as much as they want. Or, you know, we've used the metaphor before that it's like I'm talking to a bunch of horse dealers on where they can purchase a unicorn. And none of them believe you, but everybody wants to see it.
Yeah, totally.
So I love playing show and tell. It's a lot of fun. We accept that challenge.
And I've been in more grow rooms than most people.
Yes, I'm sure most people. I'm sure you've forgotten about more grow rooms than most people have ever seen.
Funny, that's probably so. Another problem people have with their grow rooms is they started out and then first cycle, something's wrong. Second cycle, something wrong. Third cycle, they start to get it. Fourth cycle, they start to hit it.
Yes,
right.
Absolutely.
Well, you guys started 18 months ago, and if we're saying that you got a 3 month cycle, that would be 12 full months before you actually started to hit it. But you guys, came to the game and hit home runs.
Yeah, actually our first fiscal year at one of my facilities, Treehouse, we were able to pull an average of, over the entire 12 months, we pulled an average of 3.2 pounds per light, which obviously we had a couple rounds in genetics that we were at the 2.8 range, and we had quite a few rounds that were 4 pound of light rounds as well. Right.
What's your ounce per square foot?
So, so it's going to be grams per square foot of the industry, the canopy, you know, number. Mm-hmm. And it's, let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say it's 28 to 35 grams a square foot.
Which is the average in Colorado.
Absolutely it is. Yeah, right around, mm-hmm. It breaks out to about a pound, pound and a half of light.
Probably average nationwide.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I think that's a fair number. Yep. Mm-hmm. And we, we definitely exceed 100 grams per square foot. We have some research and development rooms that I can't talk too much about, but they've hit numbers that I don't even believe. It's really hard for even me to believe when they tell me we're pulling a half pound a square foot. I'm really, you got my attention and I'm almost calling bullshit on myself. But then when I see it all come down, you know, proof's in the pudding, and people say, oh, you're fudging your numbers. And, we pay about a $300 tax on every pound that's grown in Denver and a $400 tax on every pound that's grown in Aurora. And the last thing I would ever do is fudge my numbers to pay more taxes.
Yeah, right. No doubt.
That's a tricky thing to do.
Hysterical.
Yeah.
You guys also aren't just growing like Blue Dream or Dragon. These are boutique strains that you're getting weight on. Give us some of your strain list.
So we have roughly, to give it time, you come through the spot, we're going to have anywhere from 40 to 60 strains active. And then we keep a lot of them on deck with tissue culture as well. But some of our favorite strains, my favorite strains, hands down, is our Burkle. Our Burkle is a cross between pre-98 Bubba Kush, which is a notorious small yielder, as well as Granddaddy Perp. Those two cross make Burkle. Burkle is tests a little bit above 30% THC. It's a great bedtime weed. This lady at a dispensary we drop it off with claims it's the cure for insomnia. So we have a Burkle challenge. It says, hey, hit some Burkle and put an alarm on for 15 minutes and tell me if you hear the alarm go off.
That's Bubba Urkel.
Exactly.
Right? Yep. So both low yielding historical strains.
Yep.
And it's one of your favorite to grow, and you guys get 3 pounds of light on it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We've hit a few rounds of 4 pounds of light with Burkle, but Juicy Fruit's another one of my favorite strains. We'll rock Lemon Skunk. We'll rock OG Kush. We'll put
OG Kush, 3 pounds of light.
Oh, all day. That's four a light run. Yeah, totally. For sure. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. It's a pretty simple method. If you smoked a strain in high school, it's probably close to its genetic parents. What I mean by that is an AK-47, an OG Kush, like I just mentioned before, a Super Skunk, a true strain, a true original. It hasn't been crossed and crossed and crossed to get developed. Those strains love our methods because they're such stable strains. Sure. Some of our methods are very unique and different and also very aggressive. So when we schwaz a plant, we'll actually take every single family off the plant at 2 points in flowering. When we do this, it will insinuate a lot of stress on the plant the same way the gym does for us. As long as you feed your plants right, they're going to bounce back incredibly well, focusing on the micronutrients. And just like if you finished it with the gym, you know, we had spoke about, Bickle earlier. He's a great example. The dude,
Bickle.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Bickle Consulting.
Yep. He takes great care of himself, but he hits the gym hard. And when he's done with the gym, he feeds his body right. And he's able to replenish his, himself well. So he beats himself up to make himself stronger. That's the exact same method that we do with our plants.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, man. Well, hey, I think we should take a break right there. And when we come back, we'll talk about Success Nutrients.
Yeah.
Cultivate Colorado is one of the largest indoor horticultural suppliers in the known galaxy. With two stores in Denver metropolitan area and free delivery from the Front Range to Pueblo, we also drop ship shipments all over the country. We're the place that commercial and personal growers go to for a wide variety of high quality soil, lights, and hydroponics and expertise. We have everything you need to grow your dreams and cultivate your legend. And we're back. Yeah, man, technical difficulties with stoners. It's it's definitely a reality. There's a little mystique here in the Real Dirt Studios. You just mentioned how well it sounds. It's constructed fairly well, but it's just a kind of a homemade basement studio, so to speak. And we've got some decently high technological gadgets in here, and sometimes they don't all quite work out right.
That's the thing about technology. It doesn't matter how good it gets. If you just unplug it and turn it back on, mm-hmm. usually you're all right.
Yeah, we went through that earlier, right? Right. So, yeah, man, I just figure I'll use this real easy piece of technology, the grinder. I got some sour diesel here.
Oh, delicious.
Yeah, this is absolutely one of my favorite strains of all time. You know, interesting is it doesn't test high.
Which
right?
is totally fine with me.
Oh, yeah, I get it,
I'm like, I don't need 30%. We're, you know, I got stuff to do with my day, but something that tested, you know, the 16 to 18% range is usually my favorite.
Right.
Because I smoke a lot of weed. And
yeah, right.
And I got stuff to do with my day.
Well, there's so much about it's the terpenes and the secondary compounds. It's not just the THC level.
Correct.
Many of my friends and myself would not go to the liquor store and say, I want the alcohol or the beer that has the highest alcohol rating.
I've never heard right. that. And that is very accurate. Right. Who wants Everclear? I'm
yeah,
good.
Right, right, good. Right. Yeah, yeah. Who I wants mean, that shit?
It's a moonshine. Like, I mean, I'm not opposed to it like that one shot a year because we're cheersing and I don't have a choice. Someone else is, you know, forcing this on me yeah. for sure. But if
right.
I'm cool with just something nice and it's got a good... Got a good flavor profile. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know, the new micro distillery industry, the micro brew industry, they've all gotten that. It's like, it's different flavors.
Yep.
It's, you know, something different. Right. And the descriptions have really gotten much better over time. As a matter of fact, for beer and micro distilled alcohol. And we need a similar thing in the cannabis industry.
I think we're going to follow suit. I don't see us really steering away from the alcohol path. I think it's, you know, it's such a great model for us to, you know, kind of benchmark, you know, where we need to go as a cannabis industry from. If anything, I think that as long as we can continue to find a way to give back, I feel like a lot of the cannabis money and the taxes that we pay around cannabis are gifted back to the right agencies in the state. And that's a really important thing. We need to keep our eye on the prize when it comes to that stuff. You know, what I mean by that, for example, is schools. You know, we don't need to be laying school teachers off. I believe Colorado, you know, does an amazing job with this, with all the revenue we have coming from our industry.
Denver, like $3 million or something last year, right?
Oh, so much.
Fucking A, man.
And so that's great for the kids, you know.
That's a lot of clarinets, a lot of gym equipment.
Yeah.
Right.
And that, and, you know, I really want to push hard for the homeless community. I'd love to find a way to, you know, to give back to, most importantly, our vets. Some of the best testimonials I have are from vets with PTSD that, you know, of Josh, you changed my life because you made it so simple for this, you know, for me to grow and hit 3 pounds a lap my first run. We've actually had quite a few people that purchased the book and followed it to the T and have done that. And, you know, those are the things that really hold true to my heart. I fortunately can't share these stories because of it being, you know, labeled how it is within, you know, they could lose some of their benefits being a vet. So I don't want to rock that boat for them at all.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No,
it's very dear to my heart.
It does happen. PTSD is definitely lessened with cannabis use.
Oh, 100%. You know, these guys need to
head trauma,
help them chill out a little bit.
You know, all of it.
They get so wound up and then the government's like, here, just take more opiates.
Yeah,
you gotta be kidding me. I mean, this guy's a zombie now, you know, like how's I supposed to play with his kids and be a dad if he's
right.
You know, choking down 14 opiates a day. I mean, that's not going to work.
Right. But he could smoke 14 joints in a day and still accomplish that feat.
He probably
right?
just, all he'd need is one or two. He'd be all right.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that really is how it is. All you need is one or two hits
and
you're generally fine.
Yeah. You're like, okay, cool. Right. That stuff works.
Right. Yeah. It works great. So, yeah, we're fixing to fire up this sour diesel joint, but before I do, I'd like to say that ask for more sour diesel out there. All everybody listening to this episode, go to your dispensary and say, hey, I need some more sour diesel. I heard Chip Baker say it was his favorite strain.
Yep.
And Josh from Three Alight agreed with him that it was really good.
Absolutely.
And you guys need more sour diesel in your repertoire.
Absolutely. Yep.
Shameless plug.
If they're in Colorado, they can call Super Farm and get it from us.
There you go. Call Super Farm. So, I mean, we're talking about all this stuff, Josh, and I still don't feel like we've kind of quite got to the whole, like, your business plan and how different it is from everybody else.
Yes, sir.
Is you have a wholesale ganja cannabis growing business.
Yes, sir.
Where you're growing 1,100 pounds a month.
Yeah.
And selling it to the local community.
Yes, sir.
Right. You've developed a educational platform called Three Alight that is a hard copy book that you sell.
Yes, sir.
Success Nutrients. Tell us about Success Nutrients while I fire this joint up.
Yeah, absolutely. So we were about 8 months into writing the book when we brought in an agriculture chemist to backtrack what it was we were feeding our plants. And we at the time had a what we thought was a great regimen. And after kind of sifting through these nutrients, we found out that what they claimed was in there was only about 60% was actually in there. And then they'd add a lot of food coloring and preservatives to make it so the end user doesn't notice any difference in consistency. Being that this book was going to be launched on the platform that it was, and everybody kind of gives you, they don't believe you, and then they believe you after they see it themselves. So I already knew I was up against, you know, people kind of calling naysayers, and I wanted to alleviate that. So I couldn't endorse these companies just because what they claimed was in there was false to what was in there.
So let me stop you real quick.
We built Success.
You started writing the book and you were using other people's nutrients.
Yes, sir.
And just your formulation of their nutrients.
Yeah, we'd never followed the application directions on the bottle at all. Mm-hmm. Why would we? It wasn't built for cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
So we built our own. So I never knew what I was actually feeding my plants. I just knew the plants loved it and kind of went from there. Down the road, next thing you know, we are, you know, building our own line that what we claim is in there is actually in there. We're able to do it for a much more reduced cost, as a lot of these companies, when they first were built for gardeners. Now they're big corporations that are geared, rather than making the gardener successful, making the corporation successful. So mm-hmm. Success Nutrients was built by growers for growers. We're not packing a full food coloring. We're not adding a bunch of additives that are the preservatives that aren't needed in there. And we're giving a solid product. We've always encouraged people, don't believe me, see for yourself. And every single time that's happened, I can truly say with 100% certainty, they've converted to Success Nutrients. It's been one of those things that's been a dream come true for us, just because our plants have grown to a whole new level. We've been able to achieve an entirely new level with the nutrients we run. Like I'd mentioned before, we harvest a half metric ton a month, but we mix anywhere from 4,000 to 5,000 gallons a day. I would never use another nutrient company now that I know what I know.
Yeah, right.
And we
right.
hit the numbers that we do. Consistency. People, this industry is very consistently inconsistent, whether
true.
It's yields
true.
Or business
absolutely.
Practice or anything. I think that what we bring with our methods is the ability to be consistently consistent and always focus on quality before quantity. And that's where, you know, Success Nutrients comes into play.
Cutting Edge Solutions is leading the cultivation industry in hydroponic fertilizers. I've known John, the founder of Cutting Edge, for over 20 years. He's an expert horticulturalist and a truly great dude. I truly stand behind his products. As a wholesaler and a retailer, I see that all of the growers that buy his product are truly satisfied. As a grower, you know when a nutrient line has been developed from extensive research in real farms throughout Northern California that it's for real. Cutting Edge products are always fresh, alive, and never dehydrated. They specialize in soil biology and plant health. Check out their website at www.cuttingedgesolutions.com for more information about their full line of products, including additives, hydroponic nutrients, hum tea, Sonoma Gold, and beneficials, and great, great feeding charts. Hey, if you ever see John out in a hydro store, chat him up. He'll talk your ear off about how you're growing and the complexities of his product and plant health. Thanks, John.
And that's our diesel day's mom.
Yeah, that's great, dude. This guy that grows this, he's only grown sour diesel for 15 years.
Fuck yeah.
Literally.
Those are my favorite dudes.
Right. And when he started,
this is my strain.
When he started growing years ago, he brought the sour diesel to our community. Like, we'd kind of had it, but he came from the East Coast. You know who you are. And he had the sour diesel cutting and started growing it, and only grown it a little bit before. But he would say stuff like, oh, man, I think I'm a pretty good crop grower. I only grow sour diesel. I only do flood and drain. And we made fun of him for years. Yeah, like, yeah, we made fun of you.
He's like, you got to try new stuff, man. Give
but
it a
hey,
shot.
15 years later, man, this guy, like, crushes it still.
Obviously, it's working for him.
He goes, like, the bags look awesome. The nuggets look incredible. You yep. know, like, he bottoms them out, so it's only colas.
Proof's in the pudding.
Man, dries it just perfectly. Like, talking to him now, he won't ever admit that it's good. Now it's a different story. He's like, oh, I could have done this or I could have done that, you know?
Yeah, hindsight 2020, he always has the ability to change.
But every time we mindset. Can get it from him, we do. That's for sure.
Nice. Mm. Nice. That's his baby, man. He's got it down.
Yeah, that's for sure. And sour diesel's not the easiest grow for many people.
Not at all.
What's going on?
It's tough to veg with a hot regimen if you're running a lot of parts per million. It loves our flower regimen, but we always have to add more flushes in when we veg it. Yeah. We grow a lot of sour diesel.
Common thing is a long 3-week flush with sour diesel. Another common thing is like either no veg. As soon as they flip it into flower, then it comes healthy again.
Right. That's pretty much what happens.
Right. That's pretty much happens, right?
And that's what I've always seen with sour D. It gets, you know, it definitely wants to turn yellow before other plants do, you know, with its fan leaves and whatnot, but that's good.
You know, I talked to one of the original people about it, and they had this like street analysis of the names of Sour Diesel and Kim Dog, right? And they said something like this is like the guy who was growing it had Sour Diesel and Kim Dog,
okay.
Right? And he was growing them both organic and and hydro. He had two different grows.
Okay.
Right. But they weren't calling him by those names at that point. Right.
Of course.
And so they started the hydro stuff, the synthetic stuff looks so much better for those guys because it loves the nutrients. It's a fucking nutrient hog, right?
Oh yeah.
So they started calling it the Kim. Right.
Of course.
And this was when they were still calling it like Super Skunk or something.
Yeah.
Right. And that's kind of how it got the delineation between the clones with these people.
Oh, this is Kim. Yeah.
This is the Kim.
Feed it the nutrients.
This is the Kim. And for a while it didn't matter if it was the Sour Diesel cutting or what came to be the Kim Dog cutting.
Yep.
Right. It was just, it was Massachusetts Super Skunk Cross.
Of course.
Right? They didn't have a name for it yet.
Yeah, it's a piece of history, everyone. Mm-hmm. You're not going to read this in a book.
Right. Well, man, absolutely. You know, fortunately, over my lifetime, I've been blessed that people know that I love cannabis, too. And they like say, hey, I'm this guy, or I do this, or I've got this, or I got this story.
You're like, sweet, right? Man. I want to hear it.
Totally. I'm like the cannabis priest. People have told me all kinds of stuff.
I have a confession to make.
Yeah.
I'm listening, man. Let's roll this joint first. Tell me all about it.
Success nutrients. Back to that. We got off a little stone tangent for a second. You got a multi-part nutrient. How many parts are in it?
There's 9 parts total. However, there's about 5 parts per mix and then probably 2 or 3 parts for a flush mix.
All right.
So
right.
It's not too complicated, but yeah, it has, of course, its base, you know, micro. We're going to have flowers and trees as well. Mm-hmm. Start bloom and veg. It's real simple, very user-friendly with how we do it. Very user-friendly. And we have a team like I said before, we have a team of individuals that are willing to help you with any step you run into along the way. Any questions, any curveballs that come up, you know, we want to help you. We want you to hit 3 of light. We want you to be another success story of ours.
Right. And, you know, that was something brings us to something you were saying earlier about your app that you're coming out with. I mean, this sounds incredible.
Ooh. Yeah, this is actually the first time I've actually been able to speak of it publicly. And yes, we've been working on it for the past 8 months. Very, very interactive because Apple wouldn't allow us to just make the book. And it's really strived from the book is $500. And we get a lot of shit for that. We also get a lot of people that appreciate and understand just, you know, gosh, this is going to pay for itself with 1 light and 1 harvest, let alone multiple lights, multiple harvests is a no brainer. But what it stemmed was I wanted a cheaper version, a version to be able to give out to people that was going to cost them $500.
How much does the app cost?
We haven't even figured out how we're going to build that, but it'll be far, far, far.
Far cheaper than that.
Oh my goodness. Yes, yes. And what it does is it'll be a situation where Apple wouldn't allow us to just put the book in there. So we had to make it interactive and user-friendly. So the app itself is very interactive in a way that you can, as a grower, plug in the size of reservoir you have. It'll auto-fill a calendar for all your future feeds. In addition, if you have any questions along the way, it has in-app messaging that allows you to take a photo of your plant and immediately uploads to our customer service site. And we can then work you through whatever problems you're having, whatever's going on or whatever's going right. You can definitely communicate with us at the 3Alight team.
This is like active growing consultation.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Right. To the T. 100%.
Now, is it automated or is there customer interaction with real people?
Absolutely. Customer interaction with real people. You're not going to talk to someone in India. You're going to talk to tell you exactly who it'll be. It'll be one of my top guys. We have a team of mass cultivators that's, you know, right around 30 to 40 deep. I'll at any given time have at least, depending on the amount of influx of calls or reports that we need to help with, we'll staff it accordingly. But there could be six master growers that are just ready to answer any questions you have that probably, you know, and these guys aren't just, I can't just say master growers. They've literally have 10,000 plus hours of garden experience to be able to, you know.
Right. It's not just a title. It's not just a title for them.
Correct.
Right,
absolutely.
Right. Wow, man. That sounds incredible. And who are you marketing to this? Are you marketing this to like everybody, home growers?
This is, most importantly, home growers. Absolutely. If that's been a thing, one of our frequently asked questions is, you know, hey, I don't have 10,000 lights. Should I still, you know, I don't have 1,000 lights set up. Should I still get this book? Absolutely. If you have one light, this is for you. So the home growers, the people that we want to help and we want to make it, you know, the people that need it for their medicine. That's the main goal, you know, those exact people. So.
Cough.
So yeah, in resolution to that, the app is definitely very excited. We're going to do a large party for it. I don't know if you know the Three of Light crew, but we definitely like to have fun. Life's all about balance. It includes a lot of hard work with definitely a good amount of partying when you're ready to celebrate for something you've worked hard on. We try and capitalize on that every time. We had a big book drop. We're going to have another big app drop. Should be coming out in April. So look for it. And if you're in Colorado, make sure you don't miss this party.
Oh, absolutely. I'll absolutely be there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you can see Chip there for sure.
Yeah, I'm absolutely there. Yeah. I'll be there. Me and the Real Dirt team. I mean, are you guys going to use this app in your grow? In your
current
room?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely.
So you got 80 employees, right? Like, or something crazy like that, right?
Yep.
80 employees, 35,000 square feet.
Yep.
Hey, and that's something interesting let's talk about too.
Actual like canopy space, yes.
The canopy space, 35,000 square feet.
Yep.
And your production rate.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Not only are you actually growing 3 pounds of light, which is a lot of money per light or a lot of grams per light. Right. But you guys are doing it super efficiently too.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes.
Can you talk about maybe some of the efficiencies that you've brought to your industry or to your grow that make you more successful?
Yeah, I think some of the more obvious ones, you know, and we just stole these from traditional business practice, but, you know, we have standard operating procedures for how our facility runs. People have, you know, roles and responsibilities throughout the facility. And it's very clear. It's not, hey, one guy, you know, a lot of times people go from, oh, I just got these 400 lights. And I'm like, cool, what was your prior grow room? Oh, I had a 14 light setup. Well, in a 14 light setup, if you're a super getter done kind of guy, you can do all the work. But when it comes to 400 lights coming into play, now you need to spread it out amongst the team. And people need very clear and concise direction so there's not duplication of efforts and all those things. So one of the biggest things that sets us apart are our standard operating procedures with how we run our grows. That helps us big time with overall efficiency from labor costs to, most importantly, we have a very high touch policy. We call it high touch because of how involved we are with the plants. We love our plants. There's not a lot of automation for that reason. And so I think that, you know, that's going to be one of the largest ones. And then we have, like I'd mentioned before, we have some methods that are very unique and different that we do that other people call me crazy for. One of them is going to be our Schwazing method, probably the biggest one is our Schwazing method, where we actually strip the entire plant of all of its fan leaves at 2 points in the flowering cycle. So, you know, we're growing nugs. We're not growing leaves. And so that's what we want to do. We want to focus all the plant's energy towards the flower development and that only.
Mm-hmm.
Huge part of that method. And of course, people call the fans sugar factories. They're packed full of micronutrients. So a lot of the times they're like, hey man, you're missing out. That the energy from that leaf was going to make its way into the flower. Well, that person's very correct. However, what we've done with Success Nutrients is nailed in exactly those micronutrients they're missing, and we replace them in our feed. But that's why we're able to do such an aggressive method so successfully.
Right. Absolutely. Because you're feeding them so heavy that they can take all the nutrients that they're normally getting from the leaf, and they just take it direct because they still have some bud leaf on it.
Yes, correct. Right? Oh, absolutely.
And then you're also only doing this 2.5 times too. So you pull all the all the leaves off, and then leaves grow back.
Yeah. Oh gosh, they do. And people are like, did you schwaz them? I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Oh yeah.
Right.
We did.
Right. And then you pull all the leaves off, and then they grow back a little bit less that next time.
Yep.
Right. There's still leaf there for photosynthesis.
Of course.
Right.
Yes. Absolutely.
Right. It's just you're manipulating it through a few different ways that your lighting technology, your lighting technique, and your fertilizer, your direct fertilizing technique.
Correct. Yep. 100%.
All right, man. Oh, I feel like we're just getting into it, but man, my commercial sponsors demand that I take a break right now. So we're going to say it again. Hey,
we'll talk soon, guys.
Yeah, this is Chip with Real Dirt and Josh with Real Life. We know the grower's independent, do it yourself. He's educated in raw materials and believes in his own technique. He puts faith in his abilities and takes pride in his yield. We know that growing is a complex science that requires blood, sweat, and tears and humility. We care about the environment and our place in the world, the abundance of yield, the quality of our product. We embrace getting dirt under our fingernails. We are investing in the future of the earth. We are cultivating abundance and legacy. Grow quality, grow consciously, grow and prosper. Go to growers.com for more information and where to buy our products. Growers is locally owned and operated in Denver, Colorado, and has been manufacturing soil for over 15 years. We make a consistent and effective line of soils and nutrients in an environmentally conscious way. All right, and we're back. So you guys are crushing it. So that's kind of been the story here.
Right. I hate to say it like that, but yeah, things have been
crushing it.
No, just, these guys are crushing it. Be so proud blessed. Of it, dude.
Yeah, a lot
be
of hard work.
Of it,
yeah,
Josh. We're definitely doing really well for ourselves as far as, you know, kind of setting the pace for hopefully where the industry's headed.
Yeah. You guys are absolutely crushing in what you're doing. That's for sure. Man, can you take me through a virtual tour briefly of your grow? Like, what happens on any given day?
So pretty much because we harvest every 2.5 days, we have to do what we call the circle of life every 2.5 days. So the circle of life is going to begin with, okay, cool. I have to take an entire round of clones today. Every 2.5 days, this has to happen. So every 2.5 days we're taking, you know, typically an average round is going to have about 88 girls in it, 88 to 100. So we're taking maybe 110 clones. That way we can kind of choose our favorite phenotypes from them.
Every day, 110 clones.
Every 2.5 days. So everything I'm going to mention from here on happens every 2.5 days.
Oh, okay, great.
Everything, yeah.
Great.
So
every
we have
2.5 days.
Yeah, so we're having to take those clones. We'll have to transplant those, the prior round of clones. We'll have to get transplanted as well. So those will get transplanted from a 1-inch cube to a 4-inch cube. From there, once they're pushing roots out the 4-inch cube, then they're going to get transplanted into a 7-gallon pot where they'll finish. 7-gallon pot is now in veg. Maybe they're going to have another 3 weeks in that pot before they're getting flipped into flower. So we're going to have to flip an entire room into flower. When we flip rooms into flower, we're going to go ahead and we'll do our schwa's then as well. So we have to do a schwa's on a room. We're also going to have to, of course, top the plant a bunch while it's still growing in veg. And then we'll stop topping about a week before flower. At that point, just throw them into flower. We're going to do schwa's one. We're going to do schwa's two. We're going to cage the entire room. And then we're going to harvest the entire room every 2.5 days. So it turns into a full-blown production facility. There's a lot of moving pieces. But it also allows me to, if you do make it out for a Wonka tour in the future, I can literally take you through every single cycle or every single step of the entire, you know, clone all the way through harvest cycle.
So let me paint a little different picture for the people at home. You have a cloning area, a mother area. Those are rooms.
Yes, sir.
Right. And you have veg rooms.
Yes.
Right. So you put all the plants in a room and then you vegetate it.
Correct.
Right. In that room. And then you have individual flower rooms.
Yes.
Right. How big are the bedrooms? How many lights or square feet?
A lot of times we do kind of a 70-30 policy. So that is, it's going to be 70% of our canopy space is going to be flower rooms, 30% is going to be veg. So a lot of our veg rooms are going to be like 12 light rooms. Mm-hmm. So you know, from 12 to 18 lights, depending on which room it is. Then we're going to have them as well as a transition room where they actually, while still under a veg cycle, will go under a bulb that they're going to finish under. So mm-hmm. dual-ended bulbs, if you will. Just a little bit more of a powerful bulb than they're receiving in the veg room. At that point, then they're going to go into a separate room where they're now finishing and flowering. I have 36 light flower rooms and 32 light flower rooms, depending on what facility we're at. You know, from there, they're going to be in that room for anywhere from 63 to 70 days. And we're going to harvest that room and we're going to clean that room up. And then we're going to start it all over again within another day of harvesting it.
Right. And how many total square feet is a facility for you?
In total square feet, we're closer to 45,000 square feet. However, I got, you know, staging areas, loading bays, you know, yeah, orders got to come in, orders got to go out, office area, people, you know, I got a lot of people that, you know, from accountants to sales teams, to inventory management to, you know, we got to make sure our metric is very on point. If the state ever says for us to jump, we always say how high.
Yeah. Here's the info.
Yeah. Thank you. Play ball. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Absolutely. And per facility, you have about 40 people? Is it split like that?
It's probably 50-30.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, you know, and then we have a lot of project days because the list I ran through before is actually pretty labor intensive. Mm-hmm. Whether we're transplanting or whether we're doing a schwaz or whether we're just topping. And there's a lot of things going on.
Right. Where do you think that term schwaz came from?
We coined it.
You guys coined it.
Yeah. We had to call it something. Right, and, you know, everybody says, oh, isn't it defoliation? And I'm like, yeah, but who wants to say we're going to go defoliate the room today? I'm like, no, let's schwaz it up, guys. Let's get this going. You know, it involved scissors. And that was just kind of what we called it.
Right. One of those little nicknames.
Yeah. Well, it didn't really have a name for it. So we were just like, oh, we'll schwaz them up.
Well, that's real interesting. I asked that because I'm interested in this like linguistic culture that has developed around cannabis.
Of course. Right? Yeah, absolutely.
And I often ask people like, hey, what are some of the like terms you've coined for your operations? You got any other like little things you call stuff, nicknames or?
We do some things that are kind of unique. If we ever have to, if we ever have a plant that, you know, like I said, mentioned before, we'll take a couple more clones than we need. And so unfortunately at some point or the other, sometimes we'll have to, you know, get rid of a few plants for our plant count purposes and things like that before they actually harvest. So we'll play some, you know, old gospel music when they're walking out. And then we'll, you know, the boys always play Marvin Gaye radio when they're on Pandora, when they're taking clones, making babies.
Oh yeah.
Just little stuff. So as far as linguistic, I think it's going to have to be the schwaz takes the cake.
The cultural stuff's cool though. Yeah. Love it. Right.
Yeah, we try and we make sure that we, you know, we have a glass half full policy or a high five policy, however you want to look at it. You need to be showing up to work with a glass half full attitude. You can't be one of those, oh, it's going to rain today kind of employees. Those are tough. So we try and alleviate that through excessive high fives and, you know, people just being in a good mood. Yeah, you know, you can always
team attitude.
Absolutely. Team environment. Yeah. It's teamwork. We all sit at the same table and just are in charge of bringing different things to it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Great environment. I mean, you know, your employees all seem, you know, happy and nice there. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? I try to foster that environment at my facilities as well.
It can be tough work, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's tough work. And, you know, like sometimes I'm part of the problem too because I'm an asshole. Or
absolutely.
I got my focus.
Well, you got to be the boss sometimes. Right. My dad calls the 98-2 rule. 98% of the time you get to be everybody's good buddy. And 2% of the time you got, hey, this has to get done, guys. Be the boss, I guess.
I'm going to start walking in and say, 98-2. It's a 98-2 day.
All right, yeah. You guys are on the 98 today, so everybody's stoked. Yeah. let's stay as far away from the 2% as possible for everybody's sake.
So, man, you've put this together so quickly. In 18 months, you put all this. It's really dramatic because, I mean, I built multiple businesses. I'm a serial parallel and a serial entrepreneur. I'm addicted to starting products and bringing products to market.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, I really enjoy it, you know?
It's the journey, not the destination. Yeah, it's fun, man. Yeah.
Let's talk about that a little bit, man. Like, can you tell me, like, three, like problems that you had and you had to let's say it that way. Three problems that you had to build this organization in the past 18 months.
Well, of course, like any other entrepreneur, we'll run into some very similar hurdles. I think one of them is going to be the try not to bite off more than you can chew approach. And a lot of people need to understand that you're going to, especially when you're kind of close to that margin, it can be a fine line sometimes. One of the biggest things I've learned is, you know, you can only listen to a certain amount of opinions because people will tell you that it's very hard to achieve what you have in mind, especially if you're, especially in cannabis, because it's almost a brand new industry. So having a lot of belief and faith in yourself is going to be step one. Of course, having the proper team around you to encourage and remind you of that, because, you know, you're not going to wake up feeling like you got that every day, but it's very important to build a routine that can cultivate that feeling. And so that would be one of the larger ones. And then of course, keeping your, your friends and family close to you. I think loyalty is very key in this world. We're in such a contract world. You know, it's everything needs a contract. You need to sign here. I'll sue you for this or that. And I think, you know, keeping a handshake policy for yourself and your own ethics will encourage your team and more success to be around you because you're much more ethical businessmen. And I think that when you're ethical and when you put good things out in the world, I believe that the universe will conspire to give those things to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
And, you know, without getting Karma too wheel, philosophical.
Bro. You got to turn the wheel, bro. Old wheel, keep turning around.
That's it. Absolutely. Yeah. So without getting too Confucius on you, that's, you know.
That was Jerry, bro. That was Jerry.
You know, I'm just saying the whole Zen approach of, yeah, nah, yeah, I'm with you 100%. So yeah, so the problems have been, you know, I would just say traditional problems. I think one of the biggest problems that I ran into with cannabis was the stigma around it would have to take the cake. And being a father, my daughter's 8 years old. And so,
I mean, other than the weed shirt, you don't really look like a typical weed user to most of the world, I think.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, I'm cool with either way, but just because of my father approach, mm-hmm. I want to make sure that people
speak.
You could
go up to the PTA meeting without that shirt on.
Exactly.
And just like everybody else.
But here's the thing, I do. You know, yeah, a lot of times I volunteer for field trips and I want to make sure I can spend as many moments with my daughter as possible. And so that's something that, you know, I think that changing the stigma towards marijuana has happened over the last It's made incredible grounds over the last 3 years. Let's call it what it is. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that I think we have a lot more ground to cover, but however we can help change that stigma is going to be massive. Just because when you put business connotations around it and we pay heavy taxes, it needs the same legitimacy that other industries are getting. And I believe we're very close to that. So one of the largest problems in resolution to this question is, you know, just, having that political acceptance, and it's a disappearing problem, and I'm happy for that.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. It has changed so much.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, even in the past 18 months for you, I bet service people,
huge.
You know, come to do work for you
yeah.
today, and yeah. it's different than the service people that came to do work for you when you started.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, right. yeah, if that's the case. They're getting treated more like a new industry or like existing industry,
a normal industry.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know,
right. I've had people literally like clap their hands and rub them together and say stuff like, oh, you guys are making so much money.
Oh,
right.
And that's
and
the case.
And then the bill comes and it's like, yeah, is this is good.
Yeah. Oh man. You know, we'll have some big months and the boys will see, oh goodness, we just took home how much money is this, you know, in our sales meetings. And then I'll quickly remind them of our overhead.
Yeah, right.
It's like,
right,
let me cut this pie up real quick and let you know who took what piece.
mm-hmm. Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's never the first line of that report. It's always the last line.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're like,
yeah, it's never your gross sales. It's always your net profit.
That's it. That's the one that matters.
Right. That's the only one that matters really.
Yeah.
What's the joy in all this for you, man?
The fact that I can, you know, I can live a life that I do not need a vacation from. The fact that I can give back to my my family, not only in a true genetic sense that, hey, I'm able to take care of my immediate family, but also my family of friends. It's very large and it's wonderful to be able to work with your friends. I think that if people can follow their passion and be passionate about it in a way that's actually their energy is very evident in a positive manner, it attracts people almost like a magnet does. And I think that's something that I've just been so passionate about cannabis and that's a lot of my friends have seen, oh my goodness, you know, this would be some fun. This would beat the heck out of my desk job. You know, let's work with Josh and let's, you know, kind of see what they have going on. And that's been the biggest joy, being able to give back to the people that I love in my life. And that would definitely wrap it up.
Awesome. You got a weed story for me? any weed story?
Oh, it's too many of them. But
a good one. A good one. Pick out a good one.
All right. So I'm growing medical cannabis for myself. It is 2007. And I had a small, I think there was one light in a closet. I think I had like 9 plants or no, I had 6 plants because it was a 6 plant count is what I could have. And so there were like 2 of them flowering, 2 in a clone dome and 2 in veg. And it's just all kind of happening in the same closet. I don't know how I did it. I mean, your best teacher in life, everybody's experience. I've definitely started off at a pound of light as well.
Right. Failure.
Failure for sure. So long story short, I have a seizure that morning. I have epilepsy. And my friends, I bit my tongue in my seizure. So they know I have seizures. So they're like, it's okay. I bit my tongue. So I was spitting up a lot of blood. And one of them did what he should have done. He called the ambulance. He called 911, said, my buddy's having a seizure. This is not good. Ambulance shows up and immediately calls for backup. Because I was in my room. They had to walk by this closet to get to me. And little did they know I'm having a seizure. I have my card because I have epilepsy. And my card is there. It's right there on the wall. Long story short, they call the cops anyways. Cops show up, put a police line tape around the perimeter of my entire house. My roommates are bugging, going like, what the heck, dude? Oh my gosh, the house has a search warrant showing up at it. What's going on? You know, and I'm like, I have no idea. You know, at this time I'm getting wheeled off to the hospital because they don't give you a choice when the ambulance does show up. They take you regardless. And long story short, they took all my plants, took all the paraphernalia in the entire house, and wrote out some tickets to some people and wrote out some big tickets to me. That was a Friday. It was Saturday morning. So my folks came and got me from the hospital, and Sunday morning, the next day, I'm at their house because they were like, you don't need to go home right now. You might be getting arrested. I'm like, oh shit, this is not good, but okay. All right, I got to deal with it.
Your six plants.
Yes. For my six plants.
How many plants are you growing right now?
6,000.
Okay.
So whoops. But either way, so they you know, I get a call the next morning from the DA, and I of course didn't have the balls to answer the call. I was like, I'm not talking to her. She can talk to my voicemail. There's no way. And she leaves me a message and says, hey, I need you to come down and get your cannabis plants as soon as possible. We do not want them to die on our watch. You need to come get your cannabis plants. You can have them all back. We're so sorry. So I was like, oh my goodness, jumping for joy. Like, there's no way. I just got an apology call from the DA.
This is on Saturday or Monday?
This is on Monday morning.
Monday morning.
Yeah. So they've had my plants now for about 48 hours.
Okay.
And so I immediately was like, mom, dad, I got to go. I'm not in trouble. I'm gonna go pick up my plants. Check this out. So I zipped down there, and everybody was very nice, very kind. They gave me back my plants, and they actually helped me carry them to my truck, which was nice. Me plus a trail of cops carrying my plants. And then they also gave back all the paraphernalia from the entire house. And so everybody got their bongs back, which was cool. Cause there was, I don't know if you remember when you were 22, when you were 20, there's probably some bongs, and probably still is some bongs that have names and have been around. Yeah, exactly. Have been around for a minute. So I was able to get all those back, got all my plants back. And I'm on great terms with all those police officers as well as that DA. It's probably one of the cooler weed stories.
Awesome. That's a great one, man. That's great. Great. Yeah. It's all those little things that change, right? Like, now they totally walk away because everybody's so educated. If that happened today, and they came to your house and you had six plants.
Yeah. Right? They'd be like, oh,
completely walk away.
We're here for a seizure. This kid medicates himself with these plants.
Right, right.
I don't know. That's the part. My sister came unglued on him. My sister's always been kind of my brother and sister and I were all 14 months apart. They're twins. So we grew up really close and they're older than me. And so my sister's kind of like my mother hen. She just like came unglued on the cops. Like, are you kidding me? This is absolute bullshit. Told them the awesome. Time it was.
good for your sister.
Yeah.
Right. We got to have those political women out there, especially these days and times. That's
absolutely.
Sure.
I mean, I feel like those are the voices that get heard.
You know,
that's
you always
damn
listen
sure.
to mama.
Yeah. She's going to call a spade a spade. there's no, you know, we're going to cut right to the bone here.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome, man. Well, this has been such a cool chat, man. I'm glad you got to come here. I know it was real short notice and put this all together.
I can't thank you enough.
Yeah. Appreciate it, dude. And I hope I get an invite back to your facility and check it out. I don't think I could see all portions of the cycle of life last time. I think something was left out.
Yeah, I think we were just quick in and out. I don't know what it was, but
right.
We'll definitely take our time there.
Right. Awesome, bud. Well, hey, let's roll up another one and we'll call this podcast done.
I like it. I like it. Appreciate everybody's time today. Y'all have a good one.
Yeah, thanks. If you want to find more out about Josh Hoppett, Three Alight, or Success Nutrients, you can check out his websites in his bio on therealdirt.com. or follow them on Instagram at 3alight or Success Nutrients. If you're a grower looking to buy the book or his nutrients, then hey, just go to Cultivate Colorado and mention this podcast for a discount. As always, stay tuned for new episodes by subscribing to The Real Dirt on iTunes, SoundCloud, or Stitcher. And follow us on Instagram at The Real Dirt Podcast. If you know a grower or cannabis entrepreneur who could be a guest on our show, please contact us at www.therealdirt.com. On the next episode of The Real Dirt, I talk to Doug Marvin from Botanicare and Dave Malone from Green Dot Labs about genetics, corporate involvement in the cannabis industry, and high-end extract techniques. Don't miss a chance to get the seed-to-sales perspective on the industry from two knowledgeable and successful sources who both smoke me under the table. See you next time on The Real Dirt. We'll be right back.